Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glasser coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows, and if you can, please give us a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, Game Source, the great folks at LakerHolics.com, and also the wonderful folks at the Hoopheads Podcast Network. And if you can support all of these great things in your life, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, the Lakers going into Denver with an extra day's rest, extra film session, and the news that Anthony Davis will be back sooner than we thought. We thought we were thinking maybe mid, even maybe early February. There is a chance that he could be back as early as late January by the end of the month, which was good news for the team as they headed into Denver for a game tonight against the Nuggets. Everything looked to be on the up climb. We thought that maybe with an extra session, extra tutelage from Frank Vogel, things would be a lot better on the defensive end. But unfortunately, as I'm seeing the terrible videos that I'm seeing all over the news in regards to the tsunamis that are now wreaking havoc across the world, causing a lot of pain and unfortunate out there. A tsunami hit the Los Angeles Lakers tonight, and that was the Denver Nuggets, as the Denver Nuggets on the offensive side of the ball was just tremendous. At one time, early in the fourth quarter, they were 60% from the field and over 60% from three-point area. And that's just a combination that the Lakers could not overcome as they played terrible defense all game long. And their offense, that was pretty good in the first half, 60 points, even though they were down still 73-60. You could think that maybe their offense would keep them in the game and maybe pull it out in the end in the second half. Unfortunately, in the second half, the offense went down in the toilet as well. So you had a combination of bad offense and you had a combination of bad defense. And that totals out to, at one time, a 40-point lead in the fourth quarter for the Denver Nuggets as they just absolutely throttle the Los Angeles Lakers in a terrible, terrible game for the team, 133-96. And here today to talk about the game, I was hoping L. Rob would join us as well. I'm hoping he feels better, a little bit under the weather, but I'm hoping he'll be able to join us soon. He said he might be able to join us today, but not so sure. But if he isn't, I want to go ahead and give him a special shout out and hope he feels better. Also as well to his wife. I know she is on the mend. And then Jamie Sweet, hoping he'll get a chance to join us. Maybe after those all-star picks, I'm not sure. But Carmelo Anthony, really, on the all-star team. I'm glad he changed his mind at the end. But here today to talk about the game is a guy who actually had a very good starting lineup for both sides, East and West, for the All-Star game. He is the mastermind behind LakerHolics.com. Please read all of his great articles at LakerHolics.com. Plus, we want to hear and see your picks for the All-Star game at LakerHolics.com. I just put them up the other day. And also, as well, I put the latest episode of Lakers Fast Break podcast there as well. We put all of our East and West reserves right up there for you, LakerHolics.com. Please go ahead and be part of the conversation there. It is Laker Tom, and Laker Tom, I don't know what to tell you, my friend. Like I said, as I'm seeing these tsunamis all over, you know, that are taking place in the world that are causing mass destruction, we saw a tsunami today in the Denver Nuggets.
I mean, they wiped us out. They shot 23 out of 40 from three. I mean,
Bones Highland was just unconscious.
Yep. No, I mean, it was an amazing display of shooting. The Lakers played terrible defense. They were, like the announcer said, they were doubling when they shouldn't double, and guys were just driving by at will. It's a very dispiriting loss, you know, because just like you said at the start, Gerald, you know, everything looked like it would be, this is the perfect time to bounce back, you know. I mean, we'd gone through this long period of one step forward, one step back, one step forward, one step back. We thought we'd add a couple of steps forward, you know, and we were going to maybe start to make two out of three forward steps or three out of four forward steps, and ran off a little win streak against some hapless teams. And then ran into some teams playing a lot better basketball than the Lakers are right now. It's just one more game in a season that continues to be the third crazy COVID season. I mean, some of the other scores that we've seen, I mean, I couldn't believe the Grizzlies would go in and get walloped by somebody after what I saw them do to the Lakers and the Warriors.
They won 11 in a row.
Yeah.
They won 11 in a row at home against Dallas. You think Dallas is a team that's right around us that's been up and down all season. You thought, okay, they've got this. But Dallas has actually been on a little bit of a streak, playing a lot better recently. And they went and they killed Memphis at home.
It's, you know, how do you I know these things happen in a regular season, but I swear they have to be more happening more often now in this COVID season, because it's crazy, you know. I still have that same feeling that we talked about before, that this is just one of those seasons that, and maybe it's going to be the cumulative effect of all three of these COVID-influenced seasons, where there's sort of a changing of the guard. You know, you still got LeBron, you still got the Golden State Warriors trying to reprise the championship teams of a few years ago, and you've got the Nets with KD and Harden and that group and so forth. But boy, there's a lot of other young talent coming along that maybe doesn't have the pedigree and the resume that some of the superstars in the league have right now, but we're having a hard time beating those guys, and everybody's running into that situation. There's a lot of good young talent in the league. So great for the league, maybe not so great for the Lakers. You know, this was another loss. And, you know, I mean, what do you have to say about it? That we just don't have the players without Anthony Davis to really compete with the kind of size when we run into a team with some good size or a team with young legs. So it's, you know, Kendrick Nunn is not going to solve that problem. I don't think Anthony Davis is going to solve the problem of the games and how we're not playing well and how teams – we're making stars out of players every single night. There's some new star and some new player who comes out and puts 30 on us. You know, it's kind of funny. It's for me, it's the ghost of Byron Scott. You know, it's the Lakers' failure to recognize how important spacing is. And I'm sure you wish that you were wrong, Gerald, but you know, putting Russ in just compromises any effort that the team makes to try to provide spacing. It gets exacerbated by Frank's desire for two bigs. And it's the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde aspect to the identity that the Lakers are trying to build and that they created a roster to do. And yet the coaching staff continues to not want to buy in on that because the defense isn't as good enough. And team after team is coming into arenas and showing that the Lakers that is true, you know. And so the question is, I guess we're just going to have to endure this, you know, one step forward, one step back situation until Anthony Davis returns, you know, which could be, what, another couple of weeks maybe?
That's what it's leaning
so
towards.
We're now 22 and 23.
21 and 22. We're currently in seventh place in the Western Conference. Yes.
And how many games left in this month?
Well, the games left in this month, not just looking at it directly, but if you're talking about three games a week on average, say about another five or six games.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, maybe this will be like the great bubble year where, you know, we had 4 months off and came back and AD was the bubble AD. So maybe that's what we'll get. But if we don't get bubble AD, I don't think
that's still not going to help you
out. I don't think that's enough even, you know, we need to pull off a mega trade. And unfortunately everybody knows we do. So, you
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely. Well, again,
I think, was an opposing GM, I'd be asking for Reeves and Monk on every single trade the Lakers proposed.
Well, unfortunately, they don't take up as much of the salary. That's the problem with them. Well,
that's no problem, because that means they can be added to the deal. Any deal you got, you can add them.
Yep. I sent out earlier to you guys a proposal on a four.
I thought it was a good trade, Gerald.
Wow, that's good. I thought the only thing is it gets rid of all your problems. You do attach a pick on it. The Orlando Magic still stay under the salary cap, and the Lakers right there, no difference in salary cap for them. And well, then you get
present the pick,
younger,
tell people what the deal
and more
is.
Athletic.
Yeah, we'll tell everybody what the deal was.
Okay. Well, we'll do that. We'll do that here in a sec. But I know Jamie Sweet has just joined us here, and just want to make mention that he is the man behind a great article right there he posted at the halfway point, plus his Five Things articles, which lately haven't been all that cheery, but he also has his picks there at LakerHolics.com for the All-Star game. It is Jamie Sweet. And Jamie, great to have you here. Appreciate you joining us once again, talking Lakers. Unfortunately, they got walloped today. The defensive side of the ball, the perimeter defense, Laker Tom sees it, you know, as much as he likes to be, and I give him kudos for trying to be a Russell Westbrook defender as best he can, but even on a day where Russell Westbrook isn't half bad on the offensive end, his defense from a perimeter is atrocious. You see Avery Bradley, who Laker Tom has had issues with all season, he's supposed to be our perimeter defender and just cannot do it anymore on a consistent basis. Malik Monk has never been a good defender, but you expect him to be hot and put up a lot of shots, but when he only puts up five shots, that's part of the problem as well. Dwight Howard wasn't too bad out there. I mean, what do you get, 13 points, double-double and rebounds?
All early, though, the first half.
Well, that's what you're going to get with Dwight Howard. He's not going to stay in the lineup very long because he gets a lot of fouls. And then you got LeBron James, though. LeBron James, unfortunately, 25 points, but really had to take a lot of shots to do it. Looked tired again for the second game in a row, and that's with an extra day's rest, so that should be of concern to Lakers fans out there. I'm going to hit you guys up again with the Orlando trade and a big overall theme once again, because I think a reemerging theme is now going to be talked about in Lakerland here over the course of the next few days in regards to Frank Vogel. But I'm going to start with you first, Jamie, and your thoughts on the game. Just absolutely a horrific defensive performance. I know we've been on them all season. I know I've been on it since the preseason, my concerns on defense, but I think out of all the games I've seen this season, this was one from the get-go, the worst defensive game of the season.
I thought the game where we gave up the 23-point lead in the fourth quarter was worse.
I'm talking about a consistent from the tip-off.
I hear you. I hear you. But this game was just embarrassing from quarter one, and it never became unembarrassing. That game was one of the games that I felt would define the Lakers this season. You know, that was in the character-building, habit-forming part of the season, that we see the habits in. Things that we formed then carrying over to now.
So we haven't into yet?
Huh?
Well, this game, just to let everyone know out there, the Lakers, you know, and Sean Grice has always touched on this, how many quarters the Lakers have left that they give up over 30 points in a quarter. They gave up three of the four quarters were over 30 points, and the fourth quarter on that, which is actually the third quarter, the number four quarter that they gave was 29. Right. So, really, this was terrible every single quarter on the defensive end.
No, we're going to be worse than fifth most points in the paint after tonight. We'll probably move up to fourth, giving up the fourth most points in the paint.
We won the points in the paint.
Yeah, we did win points in the paint.
We only scored in the paint. We missed all of our outside.
Yeah, no,
we won the points in the paint. 50-44.
Isn't that the most ironic thing about the night?
When the other team shoots at for the most part 60% for the 3-point area,
39-point differential and 3-point scored, you know, game, man. You can't be outshot by 39 points.
No, we're team oxygen, we're team debut. Like, if you're struggling and need a breath of fresh air, you're hoping you play us. And if you're nobody in the league and you're looking to make an imprint, well, here's your chance. Go off.
Bones Highland today. Bones Highland was tremendous with 28 points, 6 of 7 from 3. Actually, 6 of 10 from 3.
Should have been the number one pick in the draft, Mitch, based on what I saw tonight.
Yep. I mean, you had Jeff Green, 26 points. I mean, he's still around the league and still doing well. 4 of 5 from 3. he's been cut by so many teams. He'd been brought back. He played well in the for Brooklyn last year and got a nice free agent deal to come back to play another year for Denver this time around, and did great for today. Nikola Jokic, his average ho-hum, 17 points, 13 assists, 12 rebounds. I don't know. It's just a simple point. The fact is that they seem to go ahead on a day like today. You pick your poison, and it just seemed for the Lakers, they picked up all the poison that they could get today. Just the defensive was just out. The defense was just awful. Absolutely awful.
There's only time. There's only so many
after
times.
And after the spirited session we had, focusing on all 70 points in the paint that we gave up, we went out and won the points in the paint contest, but forgot that you got to also win the three-point shooting contest,
We didn't rotate to the open guy on the perimeter. You would often see, and this is where
rotated. It was always late, though. You know, it's weird. We're always doubling somebody with Jokic, and that's the problem. You know, you got Dwight, and you're watching Dwight rotating, watching DJ rotate, even watching Ariza rotate is just like, man, that's.
Or watching LeBron rotate tonight, you know, or
watching LeBron rotate.
He's tired.
There was a lot of body language with LeBron that
it's concerning.
It's concerning. I agree with you there, Jamie. And I think that if there's anything that can hopefully the leadership that you have from LeBron right will.
There is nothing with winning, figuring out how to win.
I don't think we're going to figure that out. And
the why until or AD gets back. No longer important. I don't care if you have to bring in an elephant and a jackass like that movie where the donkey kicks field goals from 70 odd years ago.
Yes. Unfortunately, I'm old enough to remember that movie.
Is that called Chess?
Oich was the Francis. Actual keyword there.
Francis,
yes.
The.
I feel like an Oich right now when I watch the like Lakers that. Play basketball. That's what I say.
Well, what can realistically change, guys, in the short term?
Well, right now, that's the problem I want to go ahead and bring up to you first before we talk about the trade that I proposed to you guys in email. And that is the heat that's now back on to Frank Vogel. I mean, he's back from his bout with coronavirus. He's now been coaching the team for a few games. And unfortunately, the success ratio for the team has been not a whole lot better. You see where pretty much we're at when he left, which was now one game under 500. And David Fizdale, obviously, as you mentioned, Laker Tom, when he was coaching the team in his absence, certainly wasn't the answer. Did he go 0-5?
No, I think he was 1-6 or 1-6.
Oh, that's sparkling. But I will tell you right now, that's just something that, you know, you don't – right now the heat is going to be on Frank Vogel. I don't think he's doing a whale of a great job this year, but I don't think it's all his fault. I think the fault primarily starts at the front office. Is I think Rob Pelinka has done an absolutely horrendous job for the most part. But at this point, really, the fingers are pointing at each other. I mean, you could just imagine in the locker room right now what LeBron is going through, what LeBron is thinking, because the fingers are pointing right now. When the Lakers are playing this bad in theoretically one of the last prime years for LeBron James, it's truly a disappointment. Absolutely, it's a disappointment. And you just cannot be, as a Laker fan, just anything other than mad at the team for doing that.
No, it's embarrassing. This is embarrassing right now. It's embarrassing. It's been embarrassing for a while.
It's been embarrassing the whole season.
It's been embarrassing.
And last season.
I mean, last season you had a lot more reasons, I feel like. Both LeBron and AD missed a huge amount of games. And then
it was the same thing. We lost LeBron and AD for significant portions of the season, this season.
You've had Russ the entire season.
I mean, there's a pattern there, man. It's not a good pattern.
Russ the entire season. It hasn't translated into any wins.
Right.
Not one.
Last year we couldn't score. This year we can score, but we can't. Yeah. We can't keep teams out. You know, just
last year we realized that we were lucky to win in the bubble, and we went all in on Russell Westbrook.
I think that philosophy is flawed from the get-go. I don't think we.
Yep. Won. The Lakers as a team have never philosophically cared about spacing, despite their superstars always striving to try to get spacing. So to think that you could add Russell Westbrook to a team that was already having serious spacing problems.
Well, that's a LeBron thing. This comes stamped, signed, and sealed with LeBron James' name on it. So, I mean, honestly, what's the rest of the organization supposed to do? Tell him no?
Yeah, I know. We've never heard how the old thing actually...
No.
I mean, that's a great...
Rob Rob, who calls LeBron and AD, should we do this? Is yep. We're good? Everybody good? Good? Okay, yeah. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Okay,
or did LeBron just come in and say, you better call Buddy again? Let him know what the real story is.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I see the potential for basically like another Netflix kind of paradigm shift where here comes this other major player. They have a ton of resources. Apple could change the way that entertainment is consumed.
They say it's the only time this year that you'll have stars from each brand battling each other. And we know it's not going to be the case, but they like to say that, and more power to them, I guess.
Well, it's a big first step, bringing all those superheroes together. There were definitely some parts of the movie that I really enjoyed. And then there were some parts that I thought just kind of fell short of expectation.
Part of it has to be something to do with how it's being promoted. And this is a thing where audiences do not agree with critics.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse, every week on Apple Podcasts.
And over a dozen of your favorite streaming and podcasting options.
Here's the big question, though, is they have to either improve in the short term until AD gets back. Because if Russ continues to play the way that he's played, and the team continues to play the way it is, I mean, everybody, the whole excuse is, we haven't seen what we've got. That's why we can't pull the plug on Russell Westbrook, because he's only been in 15 games with LeBron and AD. He's only been in 10% of the minutes that have been played this year have the three of them played together. Yeah. 10%, 200 minutes out of 2,000 potential minutes.
Now,
so that's the argument that says, no, you can't panic and trade Westbrook and do whatever. You can't do something like that because, first off, you blew the first half of the season with a chaotic situation. And if you trade Westbrook, now, might not be chaotic, but at any rate, that's the argument.
Is this team going to get substantially better with AD in the lineup from what we've seen from Russ, from what we've seen from a lot of the players that we signed to minimum contracts?
There's a chance.
And that's not a very good one. I remember I live in Vegas.
No, but there is a chance. There is a chance.
Yeah, there's a chance. That's what they call them, long shots, my friend.
Well, no, I would have to say now that if you asked me to put some of my hard-earned money on the table, the Lakers are probably the fifth or sixth team that I would rank at fifth or sixth on my list of teams that I put money on. They sure wouldn't be among the top three at this point in time. And, you know, hey, man, I'm a glass half full guy. So, you know, I can't imagine where you guys above. You guys probably have 10 teams above.
I'm not surprised anymore. I mean, this is what we've been watching from the beginning. Yeah. It's continued on.
Well, there's a point where you are what you are, you know.
Yeah,
we're halfway through the season, man, and this is what we are.
We were this way at the 20-game
mark. Can we get better? Yeah, we can get better, but
not that much
championship
better.
Quality better? That needs a trade like Gerald's talking about, or that I've been talking about, or anybody in the Lakers. The Lakers need a big trade one way
or another. Well, Laker Tom has been proposing a lot of deals at Laker Tom on Twitter. Some of them have been really interesting. Some of them are just trying to go ahead. And I think
three-fourths of them are really just news.
Yeah, he's a reposter.
I'm aggregating and curating some of the information, and I'll say which trades. So when you see a trade that's on my Twitter account, it doesn't mean I'm agreeing with that trade. It means that I think
there's been a couple there.
It means that I think that the trade makes some sense, that there's some reason to look at that it could be a possible situation. But it's more really just trying to get a feeling for what people are saying, what people are proposing and thinking the Lakers might do trade-wise, because that at least gives you some direction to go when you sit down in a trade machine and you want to consider what they could do to get. So, Gerald, what is your trade that you're proposing to get rid of Russell Westbrook?
Well, again, this is just, I threw this out there. I looked this on the trade machine, and I'll tell you the results of the trade machine, which was the funniest part, which I didn't tell you guys after I did it. I just thought, out, well, okay, who has a team that could go ahead and absorb a lot of the issues and a lot of the mistakes Rob Pelinka has made in regards to personnel?
And might return.
A lot of people. I know a lot of people want to get rid of Bazemore. I know a lot of people want to get rid of Ellington. I know a lot of people want to get rid of DeAndre Jordan. And I certainly know there's a half of the Lakers audience out there, half the Laker Nation, want to get rid of Russell Westbrook.
It's a 4-1 addition by subtraction.
Well, it's 4-4, so definitely you can think myself, I'm going to go ahead and say, you know what, I will be one of those that would definitely jettison Russell Westbrook if we could anytime in the near future. But most likely we'll probably have to sit on his contract until it becomes much more attractive in the offseason and beyond, because again, he's still owed another year of $40+ million on the contract. But if someone, let's say like Orlando, if a team like Orlando with a lot of cap space comes by and says, hey, I'd like to do a trade, I'd like to see what you guys have, see what we can go ahead and do. And, you know, because we want to go ahead in the year 2023 to have a lot of cap space, because there might be some better free agents than what's coming up this summer. Let's go ahead and do a trade. So what I proposed was Russell Westbrook, DeAndre Jordan, Kent Bazemore, and Wayne Ellington, all going to Orlando. Coming back was Cole Anthony, who also was Mo Bamba, also was Terrence Ross, and I think also strategically Gary Harris were all fitting under this trade. The Lakers still stay pat. They're pretty much nothing changes on their salary cap. The Orlando Magic gain $7 million, I think, on their cap. So even though they're still under, you probably have to throw them a pick, maybe a couple seconds, maybe first. You have to do something to sweeten the deal, because they're gaining $7 million, plus they're gaining Russell Westbrook. So there you go. And it's been very divisive amongst the guys in the email. L. Rob didn't like it. Sean Grice did. Jamie Sweet, you were bad at math. Laker Tom kind of liked it. So, you know, it's out there.
Plan C or D, I think.
I guess I
will tell you this. It's not going to go ahead and rechange the Lakers and make them, you know, a dynamic team. But it makes them younger. It makes them a little bit better shooting. It makes them have a little bit more flexibility. It gets them a little bit better on the defensive end. And according to the ESPN trade machine, when you do it there, it gives the Lakers 10 extra wins. Of course, it gives the Magic 7 extra losses. So if they're tanking, they might want to do that.
Except you notice, they're not going to give you
Russell Westbrook on their team, and it gives them 7 extra losses.
Right. No, I looked at Bamba before, because Bamba's an interesting case. He's only 23. They've got two centers under contract for big money already.
And he shoots threes.
But he's only had 1 year that he's really hit 38%. He's like 30%. He's a subpar, but he is a stretch five. He does have almost like, I think you see block like 2.3 blocks per game and 0.7 or 0.9 steals. So he racks up some stocks. So he's got some mobility.
Protects the paint.
So forth. He's only 23. He's big. You know, I think he's a good parser. But the question for us would be, who is going to play point guard? Because the one guy that I don't see him giving up.
I think I just mentioned it, who was going to be coming.
Yeah, but the one guy that they won't give up probably in that deal is Cole Anthony.
Cole Anthony may or may not be part of their future. Coming into the season, he was not part of their future. He's made himself into an acceptable player, and he has 3 years left on his contract. If the Magic not sure on his status, whether or not they want to make him an integral part, because they got Jalen Suggs playing the point guard, that position that he plays.
He's a point guard of the future.
They also have RJ Hampton, who's also a point guard. They've also got Markelle Fultz, who's also a point guard. So they got four point guards on that team. Yeah. Cole Anthony is their leading scorer right now, but he may not be the part of the future that they want.
I like him defensively too. He's not big, but he's a pretty feisty defender.
Yep. Well, there you go.
I think we're all in agreement. Something has to shake this team up.
It's not my Detroit 100 slam bang great trade of the century that I gave.
Yeah, I still think every game. You know, it's interesting. I know you hate Anthony Irwin, but I listened to one of his podcasts when I ran out of podcasts to listen to the other day.
He still has a podcast?
Yeah, he's on with Harrison Fagan. And they were talking about trades. And at the end of the thing, each guy got a chance to say who he thinks is the most logical trade that the Lakers are possibly going to get. I mean, the best situation for the Lakers, but not totally impossible. And Fagan basically said Jeremy Grant, because he thinks that THT would be a perfect player to play with Cade Cunningham. And he thinks that the Pistons are going to like THT a lot for that reason. And Anthony Irwin said something that I thought really made a lot of sense. He said he thinks it's Miles Turner because he thinks that the Lakers aren't going to fire Frank Vogel, not in the middle of the year.
No.
And they're not going to promote David Fizdale. Believe me, after they saw what happened with him.
That's a big statement to make.
Frank,
you know, so I'm staying quiet on that because
Frank's gonna have a vote.
I'm not saying anything either which way.
And Anthony Davis is gonna have a vote in what's gonna happen.
What do you think?
And basically what Anthony Davis wants to do is play the four. And Miles Turner would be a beautiful fit on the Lakers as a five. And he's cheaper than Grant, he's cheaper than Harrison Barnes, he's cheaper than any of the guys that we'd be going at. Yeah, and if you take a look at our lineup now and you think about becoming bigger and more physical and protecting the rim, which is really where all of these open threes come from in a lot of cases, because we don't have any rim protectors and our guys have got to sag off of people on the outside because they can't get up on them. Otherwise, the guy's gone for a straight line layup. So Miles Turner could really change the dynamic of the Lakers, because when AD comes back, we'll still have that small ball lineup. But at the same time, we can play big with Turner and play five out with a three-point shooter. And we can put a lineup in with the three of them with AD and Turner and LeBron. That's a front court that is going to be brutal on almost any team in the league. We can really dominate there. And then you turn around and you play LeBron at the five, and it's not fair, or AD at the five and you're in.
Well, you notice my Orlando trade did one thing. It kept your valuable, quote unquote, I'm putting that in air quotes.
Yeah.
Valuable trade assets that
I noticed that could make other
trades. But no, that's the problem.
There's always been two trades that could happen. There's the Talen Horton Tucker and Nunn and the first round pick trade. And then there's the wild things, the Ben Simmons trade, or a trade like you've constructed for the Magic that could flip Russell Westbrook, who's our other trade asset, the only other trade asset we really have. When you get into the trade and they come down at the wires and they say, well, wait a minute, let's include Monk and Reeves and you got a deal. Where do the Lakers draw the line? And it depends on which player it is and how much they're asking for and so forth.
Got to draw the line at Reeves.
But, it's going to be – I don't think you can't let go of Reeves in my mind. And I don't think you can let go of Monk. I think
everybody's expendable right now when you're a 500 team. I think you guys hold these guys on a pedestal, and I think that's the problem, because right now they're showing their inconsistency. I mean, look at tonight. Monk, Reeves, and THT – these valuable assets, as you call them, right now combined for 12 points.
Right, but I can also go back and pull out lineup cards that, where these guys
were. It's consistency. Yeah. It's about consistency. No. And right now these guys don't have it. And none of the guys are
beyond LeBron. But it's also something – there's also something else going – I mean, this is why it's not totally silly to talk about some discomfort with the coaching situation. The team has got some problems that aren't – individual related, they're chemistry related, because defense is chemistry. Defense is totally chemistry. It's about trusting that your other four players are going to be doing their jobs so that you can bust your ass doing your job and the play will work. And the minute you stop trusting that, you stop busting your ass, and then the play doesn't work.
You guys talk about all these great trades that the Lakers are trying to get, and the problem is, I think, as you saw with the Cam Reddish trade, that the Lakers will end up being second or third place in the running on all of these trades with all of these major players, because there are better assets out there that teams can throw out to an Indiana, that they can throw it out to a Detroit.
That's not the right way to look at it.
You just have to hope that.
No, I mean, that's not the right way. That's the realistic way to look at it.
Let's get the semantics straight. It's not what – there's no doubt that there's assets that every team has out there that are better than what the Lakers can offer. The question is, who is going to offer the most assets? Because a lot of those teams won't give up players. This is how it comes down to the Lakers being desperate. I mean, Poinka did a good thing by saying no, in a sense, to THT.
Well, now it comes down to the
deadline. I wouldn't have done that, but he at least showed that. He at least had the cojones to say that, No, we have a limit. We draw a line. We're not going
to
be
again. It now comes. It comes now. Comes down to the point where let's Laker Tom is betting on Rob Pelinka to make the trade. Yep. Jamie Sweet here is betting on Rob Pelinka to not actually commence any trades during the, the trade season.
No, Derek. And I don't think we'll make a single trade.
Yep. So
and where do you think we'll finish?
Seventh.
Oh, gee, I don't know about that.
I'm on the fence. I have no idea what Rob Pelinka is going to do because, you know, I'm just not sure exactly.
And Jeannie Queen's house.
Yeah. I'm just not sure exactly what the mentality is right there. It just doesn't seem whatever it is that they're doing is working right and functional. But again, as Laker fans, we got to go ahead and say, you know what? As long as we have LeBron James, we're going to try and go ahead and move things forward. And we'll see what happens on Monday night as the times get better. And I say that in a total, and again, air quotes, because the Utah Jazz come into town. No, I know. I was trying to be somewhat positive there.
The Lakers have a chance to win musical chairs in that they could be the last one to find a chair. If all of these teams go through all of their assets before us, and there's a team that, like Indy or Orlando, somebody who's like, oh, we could actually maybe get a little something extra or whatever, they might have a chance. But I'm betting
also always look at players at if this guy was on our team, he would be so much better because of how we would use him. It always comes down to that. Look at Kuzma. Look what's happening now with Kuzma. All of a sudden, people are saying that Kuzma is equal to Russell Westbrook. They're rated the same in NBA 2K. So, you know, that
doesn't mean anything to me. But that's
Kuzma
that's,
plays better defense. Player rating, right now. It's a player rating. I never thought I would be able to say that.
Yeah. But
anyway, my point is that I'm betting on his Rob continuing history of not
making a deal.
Season trades. He doesn't make deals.
Do you want him to make a deal though? Don't you think he should make a deal? I mean, obviously, what we're talking about when we say make a deal, we don't mean make a bad deal. So if there's if there's no good deals available, you don't make a deal.
No, I don't think.
But you can create good deals. You can find good deals.
I don't think a deal changes our fortunes this season. That's what I really think. I don't think we can get a player or a couple players or whatever.
Well, there are players that can change them. You just don't think we're going to get them then.
In any direction other than the direction it is, because there has been a talent and brain erosion of the Lakers since we won in the bubble. That's the truth. You know, we took away the guys that played the Frank Vogel defense the best.
We lost bubble AD is really what happened. We lost bubble AD. And we lost LeBron to injury.
The Frank Vogel defense. We ditched the Frank Vogel defense. The players who play now cannot.
I think it's a combination of both.
Here's what I think about that statement you just made. Wait, this is an important distinction because I want to see if we really disagree. I do agree that we've lost the defense that we had in the championship season, but I never attributed I never attributed that defense to KCP and Schroeder or any of these guys playing on the perimeter, because I think our perimeter guys now, you know, or Caruso, I think that we're probably not as good, but that isn't the difference. The difference is we don't have any rim protection. It's the other two guys. We don't have JaVale and we don't have Dwight. So we had rim protection all year during the regular season in that season.
I think that we have misstepped at every turn since winning the championship in terms of the guys that we chose to keep versus the guys we chose not to.
It's been very erratic. I mean, why would you bring in Harrell?
Validating wildly, right. No Dwight. Okay, Dwight. No Bradley. Okay, right. Bradley. Because he's on waivers.
Why would you go into this DJ thing or Drummond? I mean, we've obviously shown that our general manager, Rob Pelinka, can make a mistake. A big one. We've seen that.
He makes a lot of mistakes, and that's part of the problem.
Yeah, he makes plenty.
Maybe it's the law of averages because we made some great moves in the championship year, you know? I mean, everybody Lakers did was gold. Purple and gold.
That was the year Kobe looked down on the team then.
Well, that's also the year we got J.R. Smith, and he didn't do much.
And then since then, now we're paying for the perfect storm of good fortune that we had that year.
But I heard J.R. Smith actually plays golf really well.
He does. And I think he went to college.
Is it North Carolina A&T?
Is he really on a scholarship, though?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if he's on a scholarship, but he is playing college.
I know he's playing on the team, but
No, I don't think he's on the scholarship. I'd be amazing.
I think he's at NCANT.
Kind of funny if he's on a scholarship. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
it's difficult to figure out where the Lakers are going because there is enough talent between LeBron and AD and Russ that they could pull it all out. And none of us are going to be sitting there when they do it and say, I told you so. We're all going to be saying, wow, no. I didn't think they could do that, but I'll take it.
And I won't be too big to say it, but I don't see that happening. I'm going to stand by what I just said. I think that we finish like around seventh. We have one of the worst defenses of a playoff team. And if we make it through the play-in, we get bounced in the first round. And Genie does some reexamining of what's going on.
And it's interesting because next year we have a $47 million contract with Russ, which is an expiring contract.
That'll become after the season, like I said.
And at the end of that season, we have only one player under contract.
But I'm saying
Anthony Davis for $40 million.
I've indicated, as of when the summer hits, that's when Russell Westbrook's contract becomes much more attractive.
Right. It also becomes attractive for us because we could let him expire at the end of the year and have $80 million and Anthony Davis under contract.
Who thinks LeBron James signs an offseason extension?
Well, I think he signs an extension. Unfortunately, I think it'll be for the max amount that he can get.
We'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. But once again, the Lakers, as we're talking all this random stuff, except for today's game, because today's game was an absolute travesty with the Lakers getting destroyed 133-96 in a absolutely terrible defensive performance. Hopefully the Lakers can manage on the plane ride home to find some sort
next
of...
Next time, let's do the podcast after the 96. Third quarter, the next one of these.
No. We got to wait till the end of the game so I can have the final score. Again, the Lakers did fall.
It's such torture to watch that.
But the next game is going to be on Monday night. The Lakers do play at home, hopefully with a better defensive performance, this time with Utah, who's also been struggling as of late. So hopefully the Lakers can get well again against the Utah Jazz. I'm hoping. I'm trying to fill my glass up a little bit more. Just trying to tell you that. But if you have any questions for us,
All-star Carmelo Anthony will play? Is that what you're saying?
I'm hoping. He wasn't in the lineup today, but let's say...
Yeah, we could have used him tonight.
Yeah, Jamie Sweet's all-star right there, Carmelo Anthony indeed. But it is going to be the Utah Jazz coming into the Crypto.com arena, the Crypt per se, for Monday night. And we'll be back then to go ahead and talk about the game. But if you have any questions for us, at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter, of course, at Laker Tom. The best place to go for everything Los Angeles Lakers, including the All-Star picks, which you got to check out. Hopefully on Monday, if L. Rob joins us, he can go ahead and share his thoughts on the East and West All-Star starters and reserves. But you can see our choices for the East and West All-Star reserves. Not only check them out on the previous podcast, and also LakerHolics.com. And please share your own thoughts on the East and Western Conference starters and reserves right there at LakerHolics.com. There's a great conversation going right there that's been going on for the past couple of days, so please go ahead and do so. And then, of course, you can always go ahead and email us, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. Well, once again, we will be joining you on Monday, hopefully for better things, hopefully for better defense, hopefully just for a better performance all the way around for the Lakers.
Heat.
Exactly. Just show you care.
Right.
I mean, this was just absolutely disappointing.
If it wasn't for the podcast, I would have switched over to a movie. I have to say, when it reached 30 points.
You still got time.
You still got time, indeed.
Watch Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Watch Dune.
I watched it. It was pretty good.
There you go.
I want to see the second half, though. You know, I mean, it's.
Well, in 2 years, you will. You got to wait 2 years.
This is like
around the time that the Lakers will have good.
You know, defense. I don't watch episodic TV just because of this. So, you know, I really dislike having to wait for the second half of the movie, especially when I already know what happened, you know, and it's.
Yeah. Well, if you read the book, then of course. Yeah. Right. I mean, the book has only been out for a couple of years. Oh, excuse me.
17 years.
You know, several decades. 50 years. So there you go.
I think I read the book when I was 10 years old.
Wow. They had books back then?
Yeah, they did.
All right.
I got a Kindle. I got a Kindle for Christmas.
I thought they put everything on scrolls back then.
Wrap my fingers over the engraved stone tablets that they had.
No, he's not that old. He's not that old.
You don't even need to see to be able to read.
All right. Well, it's all great fun. Now we're trying to cheer ourselves up because the Lakers did absolutely poo-poo this game. 133.
Check the box score out.
No. Just
feel your way through the box score and see what it feels like.
No.
Oh, that was a bad game
for any Lakers
fan.
Don't look through the box scores, anyone. It's very painful indeed.
My five things will be the five things I do tonight after the game.
But yes. But we'll be back on Monday night.
If I were you, Jamie, I'd switch it. Let's do five things when we win and one thing when we lose.
No.
It would be a five things. That would be like 5-1 on different. That's like
cherry picking.
People would go to your site, LakerHolics.com, and they'd see like this 5/1. I just don't get it. Yeah, I'm the column there.
Sorry. I might change it to 7 things in honor of Lamar Odom. That's it.
Okay. All right. Now this is getting way out of track.
Do you find that 5 is dominating your life now that you go to the store and you think, oh, 5 things?
No.
Let's try any 5 things. Or
I just want to do one thing right now and send us home. All right. We'll see you on Monday right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.